is better than that.
Well, if you would, open your Bibles with me to Psalm 31. As you're turning, let me talk to you for a minute. Repeat some of the things that I said Thursday night. It's been a long time. And I can't even tell you, I can't even begin to tell you how delighted I am to see all of you. I've missed you so much. I miss being here in the services. Thursday night was my first in-person service in almost 3 months, and I just can't tell you what a blessing it was to me. I'm thankful to be back, thankful that the Lord's enabled me to, one more time, preach the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was my constant prayer in these last 3 months, that just, Lord, give me one more time to preach the gospel to your sheep here. The last 3 months have been a great deal of pain for me. I ended up having 3 surgeries in 3 weeks, and it's left me quite weak, hence I'm sitting down while I try to preach. It's improving, it's slowly, it's just going to take some time. This was not my trial alone. Janet had to put up with so much worry and anxiety and a very heavy burden of the daily, hourly care of me. And we certainly appreciate your cards and your texts and your calls, and especially your prayers. We thank you so much. I especially like to thank Eric and Jonathan, that they carried a great, great burden while I've been gone. And I've heard from people in this congregation and around the country that you all heard some good preaching. And we're very thankful. I thank God for you, for both of you. Thank you. And I pray that good preaching will continue this morning. Maybe the Lord will bless us. Enough about me. I do have some news I want to pass along to you from our sister Peggy Wooten. She had a biopsy a little bit over a week ago, and they found some abnormal cells, and they want her to have a hysterectomy as soon as possible. And let's be sure we remember her and Earl in prayer. Also, Wednesday night, Lord willing, we will be observing the Lord's table. And I wanted to assure you, I found a COVID-safe way for us to observe the Lord's table. It's an individually pre-packaged bread and wine, and it's going to be distributed before everybody gets here, and we'll go over how to do that. But it'll be COVID-safe. I think it'll be a great blessing to us. It's been a long time since we worshiped around the Lord's table. We'll do that, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. All right, Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, and deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my life is spent with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we bow in your presence this morning, thankful that we can come into thy presence and bow before a throne of grace. In and because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not have to appear before your throne of justice, but we can appear before a throne of grace, crying unto thee that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And Father, we beg of thee this morning that you bless us as we attempt to worship thee. Bless us for thy great namesake. We've met here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've come together to hear a word from thee, to hear a word, a message from thy word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we beg of thee that you bless us. Bless the word as it's preached. Father, I beg of thee that you uphold me with thy spirit. Strengthen me physically and especially spiritually. Open my mouth. Enable me to declare one more time the glorious riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, give your people an ear to hear, a heart to believe. Father, call out your sheep. We beg of thee that this morning, if there's one here who has not yet believed on you, that you might call them to repentance and faith, that you might call them to Christ. And Father, bless the hearts of your sheep. Bless us one more time with the gospel. Give us comfort and confidence and assurance in hearing one more time of who our Savior is, that he cannot fail nor be discouraged, and cause us to rest in him. And Father, we thank you for your hand of mercy and grace on those who've been in difficult times and in deep waters. We pray your continued blessing. We pray a special blessing at this time for our sister Peggy and Brother Earl. Father, bless in a special way. Give the surgeons and the nurses, those who would treat our dear sister, give them wisdom and understanding. Give them compassion, that you might use them to heal her body and strengthen her. Father, we beg grace for the hour. Be with our sister in a very special way at this time. Now, Father, all these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. The people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer. Offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
All right, look with me again, if you would, at Psalm 31. My text this morning is verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Over the last 3 months, this verse has become a great blessing to me. I've read it over and over and over again. I found it to be a security blanket, something that I can hang on to, something that I can draw comfort from. Particularly this phrase, I've rolled it over and over and over and over in my head. My times are in thy hand. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, speaking from the cross. I'll show you that here in just a minute. But every believer can confidently say this very same thing. My times are in thy hand. I want to give you some comforting thoughts for those of you who believe Christ. None of our times here below have been left to chance or to luck. Not one of them. None of our times have been left to our own abilities or our own decisions. None of our times are controlled by the whims of our enemies or by the whims of Satan. None. All of our times are in the hand of God Almighty. All of them are. Every last one of them. Every joy. Every sorrow. Every event. Whether we see it or not. And whether we see it or not. Is in the hand of God Almighty. Every event in our life. Every time of our life. Is accomplishing the purpose of God. Not our purpose, but God's purpose. God's purpose that He decreed in eternity. Not one of time, not one event in our lives has been left in our hand. Not one of them. They're in the hand of Almighty God. Everything that ever happens to us. You know why it happens? Because that's what God purposed in eternity. And that ought to comfort our heart. It's what our Father purposed for us in eternity. Our Father, who has proven His love for us. Everything that our Father does for us in all of our times is done in His great love for His people. And I thought of two times in particular that I'm thankful these times are in God's hands. Number one is this, the time of salvation. I'm thankful salvation's in the hand of God, aren't you? God's too wise to put the salvation of sinners into the hands of sinners. God's far too wise for that. God knows much better than we do that we cannot save ourselves by the works of our hands. He told us that in Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. None. God's too wise for that. God's too wise to leave the salvation of sinners up to them to decide whether or not they want to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. God's far too wise for that. God knows. God knows far better than we do that our sinful nature will never choose Christ. Will never choose salvation by grace. Our Lord told us in John 5 verse 40, You will not come unto me that you might have life. That's our nature. That's our sin nature, which will always choose death and sin and rebellion. Exactly like our Father Adam. That's where we got this nature from. So you know what the Father did? Him knowing this, that He cannot leave the salvation of sinners up to their decision, you know what the Father did? He put the salvation of His people into the hand of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about salvation. There's no time in salvation. Salvation in Christ is eternal. It has no beginning. It has no ending. But this word time that David uses means the occurrence of a thing or the experience of a thing. And salvation of a sinner includes several occurrences or experiences that are all in the hand of God. Number one, in salvation, there is the occurrence of election. Now, salvation of a dead sinner absolutely must begin with God's election of the people. It has to. God, in His electing love, chose to save some out of Adam's fallen race. God chose to redeem those who could not redeem themselves. He chose to redeem some, those who couldn't even help God redeem them. God chose sinners. Sinners who God knew would do nothing but sin against Him. Yet God chose to save them anyway. That's God's electing love. Aren't you thankful that our times are in His hand? According to His divine election? That's God's love for His people, that He would choose to save sinners. The Father chose a people to save. And He elected the one to save them too. Let me show you that. Look in Isaiah chapter 42. The Father chose a Savior to save His people. And I'm telling you, He couldn't have chosen a better person for the job. When we talk about election, election always has to do with the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. Here's God's elect, God's Son, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And verse 4 says, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. He shall not. The Father couldn't have chosen a better Savior for his people, could he? The Father chose the people to save, and he put those people in his darling Son to save them. And Scripture says, God Almighty says, he shall not fail. And those people are secure, aren't they? Aren't you glad our times are in his hands? Aren't you glad the salvation of God's people is guaranteed because of who our Savior is, into whose hand we've been put? Oh, I'm glad. I've thought about this so often, laying in a hospital bed, but so much pain I couldn't hardly even talk, thinking my times are in God's hands. If left to myself, Isaac, I never would have chosen God. Ever. But God chose to save, of all people, this rebel, this sinner. The only thing I ever could have done is sinned against God. But God chose to be merciful to the likes of me and to you. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad my times are in God's hands. I'm glad that salvation is left to God's decision, not my decision. If salvation were left to my decision, maybe somebody could talk me into deciding for Jesus. Maybe they could. But I'm glad that's not so. Because this is what I know about myself. I'd change my mind. I know I would, because of how often I change my mind about other things, you know. But God will never change his mind, ever. So the salvation of God's elect is sure. You know why? Because our times are in his hand. All of God's elect, they were saved. They were justified. They were redeemed when God put them, when the Father put them in Christ. When Christ agreed to pay their sin debt, God's people were redeemed. We were justified eternally in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now that's a promise. The promise of God. The purpose of God that cannot be broken. That's why the salvation of God's people is secure. Because our times are in his hand. Then secondly, in salvation, there is a moment in human time when the redemption price must be paid. The salvation of God's people, like I said a minute ago, it was determined before time began. It was determined when only God existed, when the Father chose a people and put them in his Son. And God has always seen his people in his Son. Always. He's never seen us in ourselves. He's always seen his people in Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's always seen his people under the blood of Christ. But there had to be a moment in human time when the redemption price was paid. God purposed it. God ordained it. But there had to be a moment in human time when the redemption price was paid. And you know when the redemption price was paid? When Christ cried, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. That's the moment in human time when the redemption that God purposed was accomplished. And that's exactly, look back at Psalm 31. That is exactly what the psalmist is speaking of here. See, this is Christ speaking from the cross as he's suffering and dying for the sins of his people. Look at verse 10. He says, "For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity." Whose iniquity? Well, it's the sin of his people, isn't it? But here he calls it mine iniquity because he made the sin of his people his. And he says, "My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. Oh, and a fear to mine acquaintance, those who were close to me. They that did see me without fled from me. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. Well, I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life." Now that can't be anybody but Christ speaking, can it? Oh, how the Jews, how those Pharisees and Sadducees, those rulers, how they took counsel together against Christ. How they despised him and hated him without a cause. They slandered him. They brought false charges against him. Oh, the contempt that they had for him. And his friends? His enemies hated him without a cause. And what did his friends do? His friends deserted him without a cause too, didn't they? Yet, the Savior didn't cast him away. He didn't cast him away. He suffered the slander. We say they brought false charges. And they did. They found people who would lie and say things the Lord did and said things he didn't say. That is slandered him. But yet, you know what really happened at Calvary's tree? People say, oh, the cross is the greatest miscarriage of justice ever was. No, sir. The cross is the greatest act of justice ever happened in human history. The Lord Jesus Christ took the sin of his people and he made it his. It's our sin, but he called it my iniquity. He became guilty of the sin of his people. Now, can I explain that? No, I cannot. Do I believe it? Oh, I hang my whole salvation upon it. He took the sin of his people away from them and he made it his. And as the great substitute for his people, he suffered the full penalty of that sin for his people. Like Brother Nyberg told us Thursday night, he purged it away. He purged it away by his sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the sin debt of his people in full. And he satisfied God's justice. And you know when he did it? At God's appointed time. All through his earthly ministry, what did the Lord say? Mine hour is not yet come. But when his hour was come, the time, appointed by God from all eternity, he suffered and died. Aren't you glad our times are in his hand? In God's time, he put away the sin of his people. Oh, how thankful I am. My times are in God's hand. Not mine, but God's hand. You see, I could never pay the price for my sin, even by suffering eternally in hell. I could never pay for one sin. You know why? Because I'm worthless. I've got nothing to offer. My suffering means nothing. I'm glad it's not up to me to get to the day of judgment, and now I'm going to settle up with God. I'm going to count out all my good works, and God's going to count all my bad works and my good works. I'm going to use them to kind of, you know, settle up with God. Oh, I'm glad that's not so. That never worked. I've got nothing but evil, sinful works to bring before God. If the time to pay for my sin debt was left up to me, was left up to you, we'd surely be damned. But the time to pay for my sin debt is in the hand of Christ my Savior, the debt's paid in full. And I'm accepted, saved, and ultimately will be glorified because my times are in God's hand. Thirdly, in salvation, there is a time when we're made righteous. Now, if a sinner would be saved, you know, salvation is a complicated thing. Now, it's so simple, a little child can understand it. But now, this is something only God could accomplish. In order for a sinner to be saved, our sin debt must be paid. It has to be paid by the blood of Christ, by the blood of God's own Son. But we also, secondly, have to be made righteous. Not just given a legal standing before God. Brother Walter Gruber calls that the diplomatic immunity. He said we can't just have diplomatic immunity. We must be made righteous. We must be given a righteous nature. And our problem is we don't have a righteous nature. We can't produce anything that's righteous. We have a sinful nature. The only nature we receive from our father Adam is a sinful nature. That's all Adam had to pass on to us. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It will never be anything but flesh. We can't make ourselves righteous. If the time to establish righteousness, to make ourselves righteous, was left in our hand, every one of us would be damned because we cannot produce righteousness. But here's the righteousness of God's elect. Look at verse 14, Psalm 31. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Now again, this is not you and me speaking. It's not David speaking. We can't say, I trusted in thee. We can't say, I've always perfectly trusted in the Lord. No, we can't say that. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could obey God's word. He's the only one that had the capacity to do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could trust the Father perfectly. And he did. Now that's a good doctrine. The sinlessness, the perfect righteousness, the perfect obedience of Christ. That's good doctrine. Here's some good news. When the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed God's law, you know who else did? All of God's law. We obeyed in Christ just as surely as we disobeyed in Adam. All of God's elect obeyed God's law in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ our Savior, when he trusted the Father perfectly, so did everyone who believes. We trusted in Christ. In Christ our representative. Oh, I'm glad. I am so glad our times, my times, are in God's hands. I could never obey God. I could never establish righteousness. But Christ, my representative, did. And in Him, I am perfectly righteous. When you look at me, all you see is a sinner. I mean, look at this, the weakness that sin has caused. I mean, just besides the vileness of it, the filthiness of it, is there words to say how horrible sin is? You can't even see the blackness of the heart, but you see the effect of it in the body, don't you? Oh, I could never produce a righteousness. But Christ, my representative, did. And in Him, I am perfectly righteous. All of God's elect are made righteous in Christ. And God, the Holy Spirit, comes in new birth and gives them a new nature, a second nature that's perfectly righteous. And the only way that could happen is if our righteousness is in the hand of God, not in our hand. I'm thankful, aren't you? Here's the fourth thing. In salvation, there is a time when salvation is applied to my heart. Verse 15, David says, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute. Make thy face to shine upon me, upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." Now the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered his people from all their enemies. Every one of them. The law is our enemy. Scripture says the law is against us. The handwriting ordinance is against us. You know what Christ did with that enemy? He took it out of the way. Nailing it to the tree. By obeying the law for us. Sin's our enemy. Sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. Sin's our enemy. Oh, but Christ took that enemy away. By bearing the sin of his people in his own body on the tree. Death's our enemy. All our lifetime subject to bondage, subject to fear of death. But Christ has taken that enemy out of the way. He took it away by dying for his people in their place and rising again the third day. He took that enemy away. There's no reason for the believer to fear death. None whatsoever. All death's going to do is take us from this place of wretchedness in his very presence. There's no reason for the believer to fear death. Satan's our enemy. He's that roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He's never going to devour one of God's elect. You know why? Christ crushed his head. At Calvary, he crushed his head. All those are real enemies. Real enemies. I'm thankful Christ has delivered me from my biggest enemy. My own heart, my own nature. My sin nature used to control me, but no more. No more. Now, my sin nature doesn't control me, because Christ dwells in the heart. And where Christ dwells, He rules. God's given me now a new righteous nature that cannot sin, and that nature rules. Now, how can you tell if I've been given this righteous nature? I want to know. I want to know right now. Has God given me this righteous nature? Does He smile upon me in mercy? It's important to know. I want to know right now. How can I know? How can you know if God's given you His new righteous nature? One way. So simple. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Do you believe on Christ? Do you believe Him? as all of your salvation. Are you so sinful? Are you so needy? Are you so lost? Are you so dead that the only way you could ever be saved is if Christ died for you? He put your sin away. He purged your sin. He's given you a new righteous name. Is that the only way you can be saved? Can you have any other hope but Christ? Can you? If not, you've been born again. God's been merciful to you. See, before we're born again, our old nature controls us. And you know how it controls us? It makes it so we cannot believe on Christ. We hear the gospel, but we can't hear it. We can't believe it. And then God, the Holy Spirit, moves in power. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't know where it's come from, where it's going. You don't know what happened. All you know is, wait a minute. Now I love a message that I used to hate. Now a message that just didn't mean much to me. I'm just thinking, how much longer is he going to preach so I can go get something to eat? Now you love it. Now you need it. Now you say, oh, God's people are meeting. God's servants preaching the gospel. I've got to be there. I need it. What happened? God caused you to be born again. Oh, in power and mercy. And now you can't not believe. I remember Brother Fortner saying one time, somebody asked him, do you ever not believe God? He said, I try to every day. But I can't. I can't not believe him. What happened? God's giving you a new nature, and that nature rules. So you can't not believe Christ. Oh, I'm thankful my times are in God's hands. I'm thankful that this time of salvation is applied to my heart. It's not left up to me, but it's in God's hand. I could never make myself believe on Christ. I tried for years to make myself believe, and I couldn't. Couldn't do it. Can't be done. And one day I just did and could not. That's because my times are in God's hand. He applied salvation to my heart. And I'll tell you when God's elect are going to believe. I know they will. I know they will. They're going to believe the gospel when they hear it. They might hear it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times and not believe it. Leave seemingly unaffected, but one day they're going to believe it. I know they will, because God promised they will. Our times are in God's hands, and He's going to give them faith to believe so they can't not believe. I don't have to worry about trying to talk to somebody and making a profession for Christ. If God saves them, it'll leak out on them. It'll leak out on them. No, that's a work that's in the hand of God, the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful. I never, ever could have seen Christ unless the Holy Spirit revealed him to me. He gave me eyes to see him, gave me a heart to believe him, to make me believe on him. That's what God does for his people. He makes us believe on Christ. By giving us faith that can believe no one but Christ. Well, I'm thankful my times are in God's hands. Those are the times, the occurrence, the experience of salvation. Here's the second thing. Let me give this to you quickly. All the times of our life here below are in the hand of our God. All of them. Now, we often can't see it. We often think we go through our life and one day is just like the next and day before. And we think our days are passing without purpose, without meaning, without nothing. Nothing's happened. Nothing important. Oh, but there's a purpose. There's a purpose. Not our purpose now. It's not our purpose. It's God's purpose. All of our days, every person here, all of your times, every single day, you know what it's doing? It's fulfilling the eternal purpose of God. That's right. Our days are not filled with random events. Our days are filled with God's purpose for us. You know, we think we often look like a leaf blowing in the wind, just going every which way. It just seems like, I mean, there's just, you couldn't arrange that flight if you wanted to. But that flight of that leaf in the wind is the exact flight God purposed for that leap. That's so. So are the days of our lives. You know, we're coming into the fall of the year. We're coming here this morning. I noticed leaves blowing around on the road, falling from the trees. Not one of those leaves is ever going to fall from the tree randomly. Not one. And every one of those leaves are going to land on the ground exactly where God purposed for it to land. That's right. That is the detail by which God rules His creation. Even the leaf falling from the tree is under His direct control. Well, if that's true of a leaf, how is it for you? How is it for you who God loves? How is it for you that God's given faith in His Son? Every event, every time in our lives has been ordained by God from all of eternity. Our Lord appoints all of our days and all of our times. He appoints the time of our birth. When's that baby going to be born? I don't know. But the time God appointed. And He appoints the time of our death. And He appoints every time, all the changing times of our lives, God's appointed. God appoints the day of blessing for His people. Aren't we thankful those days God blesses? Oh, there are times God blesses us so richly. And I'm not talking now about material things. Haven't you been in those times when you're utterly afraid to miss a service? Because God's speaking to every, seems like every service, the preacher's got a message just for you, just right for your heart. God's blessing you so richly, you're just afraid to miss a service. Those times of blessing, that comes from God. And listen to me. God's appointed the time of our troubles and our trials too. God's appointed the time that trial will begin. And they're coming. Some of you are young and they haven't come yet. They will. They will. God's appointed the time. He's appointed the heat of the trial. He's appointed the length of the trial. And He's appointed the time that the trial will end. He's appointed it. All those times are in the hand of our God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I thought about this in this time of that I've gone through. I'm thankful that the trial does not start, that the time of the trial's beginning doesn't come because of our weak faith. Aren't you glad? If that were so, we'd always be in the furnace, wouldn't we? Always. No, our times are in God. He's appointed the time that trial will start. And I'm thankful that the trial doesn't end when my faith finally gets strong enough. Aren't you glad? If that were so, it'd never end, would it? Never, ever. Now, all those times are in the hand of our God who loves His people. I have a dear friend who, during this time, would text Janet often, and he would remind her, God loves you. You remember this now, God loves you. And she'd read that text to me. It was a good reminder. This has come from the hand of our Father who loves us. Now, it's frightening, it hurts, but it's from the hand of our Father who loves us, who will only do good for His people. Only. See, God does not bring His people into the time of trouble and trial because He's mad at them, because He hates them. God brings His people into the time of trial and trouble because He loves them. Only because He loves them. God teaches His children lessons in the furnace of trial. Lessons that could not be learned any other way other than the affliction, the furnace of affliction. One thing that always comes from trial for God's people is we learn to trust our God. Learn to trust Him more. That's a lesson that can't be learned on a mountaintop. It can only be learned in a time of trouble. But listen to this, man. Listen to me. When you remember this, the next time the Lord appoints a time for you of trouble and trial, God appoints the time of trial. And oh, thank God, He appoints grace for every time. Grace for every time. Our God appoints the exact grace that we need in every time of life. That's been my constant prayer throughout this time of suffering that we've endured. I prayed that the trial would end. I did. But you know, I don't have one promise in Scripture, not one, that that trial, that pain, that suffering, that disease would be taken away. No, I don't have a single promise of that. Matter of fact, I have a promise that one of them eventually is going to end the life of this flesh. But you know what I have a promise in Scripture of? God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I always pray God's promise, He promised grace sufficient. That's what I'm asking for. There's too many examples. You don't need my examples to know that this is true. All you need to know this is true. God said it. My grace is sufficient for thee. I can tell you this. For what my personal experience is worth to you, not one time did that prayer go unanswered. Not one. Not one. Oh, aren't you thankful that our times are in God's hands? We don't have to earn grace for the trial. God gives it to His people freely. He can do that because our times are in His hands. He opens His hand and gives grace to His people freely. And the only thing that does for me is make me bow and beg God for grace sufficient and give me the grace to wait on it. Our God appoints the times of our trial. He appoints grace for the trial. And He appoints the refuge for His people too. Look here at verse 1, Psalm 31. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, not mine, in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thy hand I commit my spirit. All my times are in His hand. May as well commit all my spirit to Him. Amen. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The Father has appointed, He has appointed Christ our Savior, His darling Son, to be our rock, to be our refuge in time of trouble. And I want to ask you, what happened to you this week? What happened to you this week? Did you get some good news? Thrilled to hear? You know what? That wasn't an accident. That was God's time for you, purpose from all of eternity. Everybody likes that, don't they? Oh, God blesses you. All those good things. Anybody get any bad news this week? You know, bad news, just like good news, it was what the Father ordained for us for this time from all of eternity. That calms me down a little bit, doesn't it? Somebody might be thinking, nothing happened to me this week. God purposed that from all eternity too. That was God's time for you. He preserved you from evil. You don't know you're that close to evil. You're that close to destruction 100 times. But God preserved you. Because His time for you was a time of tranquility, peace. Whatever the time, every time that we go through has been ordained by our God. It's not an accident. It's not good luck. It's not bad luck. It was ordained by God. Because all of our times are in His hand. And the only thing that can do for God's people is make us look to Him for everything. Make us look to Christ for salvation. Make us look to Christ for righteousness. Make us look to the Lord for forgiveness. Make us look to Christ for our peace. I tell you, look to Christ for your comfort. There's not none to be found anywhere else. Look to Christ for assurance to comfort your heart. Look to Christ sufficient to give grace sufficient for every trial, every heartache, and every fear. Look to Christ. All our times are in Him. And look to Him. Now, I want to close by asking you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If God saved you, and this is going to thrill your heart, if all of the time of our salvation is in God's hand, and all the time of our life here below is in God's hand, then our salvation, our ultimate glorification, is already accomplished. Look here, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now that, all things, that includes what we call good. That includes every joy. It includes every every heartache and sorrow. It includes every smile. It includes every tear. All those things that seemingly are opposite, God works them together for good. Now read on here, verse 29. This is what is true of all of our times during God's hand. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Not one thing, not one person can ever be against us if all of our times are in God's hands. I'm just thankful. Oh, I am. I'm so thankful. Let's bow together. Our Father, oh, how we thank You that all of our times are in Thy hand. We're so thankful that You've not left one thing of our salvation, our security, our preservation in our hand, but it's all in Thy great hand. Oh, how thankful we are. And Father, we beg of Thee that this morning, as we've heard this great truth, that all of our times are in Thy hands, we beg of Thee that You'd open that mighty hand in mercy and grace to Your people. Make this a time of mercy. Make this a time of grace. Make this a time where You move in power and reveal Yourself to Your sheep and call Your sheep to Your Son. Father, make this a time when You speak especially clearly, especially powerfully to the hearts of Your people to comfort us, to encourage us, to remind us to rest in Christ, to not get so bent out of shape about the things of this life, because they're all in Thy hand. They're all happening according to Thy eternal will and purpose. Cause us to rest in Christ. Speak to the hearts of Your people. Make this a time while the world seemingly spun off its axis around us. Make this a time that Your people could rest in Christ our Savior. Oh, how we thank You. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. And forgive us for our much asking. But Father, could You give more? Give more grace. Give more mercy. Continue to bless and edify, comfort and save Your people, we pray. All these things we ask for the glory of and the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, y'all dismissed.